The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Got a call from
good morning. It is Sunday, March 26th, and that was Billy Joel, My Life. I'm Kevin Cry, and this is my show. I am absolutely ecstatic to be here today with two gentlemen, but before I introduce my guests, Liam, what's the weather look like today and even this week? Is it supposed to snow?
It's supposed to snow. Unfortunately.
Can we change that?
I don't think so, man. So yeah, today we have a high of 58. Today is our last sunny day for the foreseeable future. Starting Monday, we're going to have rain, and the rain's going to continue through Saturday. Tuesday, there's going to be snow, and there will be a winter storm watch Monday through Tuesday night.
Jeez.
So
that means
it won't let up, man.
That means more bad drivers and deeper potholes. That's coming true. Up.
But more water.
More water,
the
yes.
Lake.
Well, we absolutely do need that, so I'm thankful for that. And I want to give a quick shout-out to Ashley and her sister from Doughboy Donuts on Lake Boulevard, 56 Lake Boulevard. They're open Tuesdays through Sundays, 5:30 to 1, or 5:30 a.m. to 1. Phenomenal. Every time my son and I go out to Gateway or Central Valley for a sporting event, we always make sure we stop in there. He gets a massive cinnamon roll, puts a big smile on his face. And Ashley and her sister are just doing an amazing job since they've taken that over. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for people anywhere, but especially in District 1, who are running a small business and just contributing so positively to the community. So, Ashley, thank you so much for doing what you do. So in studio today with me, I have two gentlemen, Henry and Jerry, both of which I've gotten to know in the last – well, I've met Henry about 15 minutes ago, actually. And then Jerry, I've had the pleasure to know – and through the last about 8 months or so down at Martin Luther King Park. Jerry is one of the individuals that's really pioneered that, along with Mo and Skippy and some others. But this morning, we're going to break this show up into two parts. The first half hour, we're going to talk with Henry and Jerry about their process, what they've gone through individually, how they've come out the other side in a super, super positive way with drug addiction, and how they're helping give others hands up. And then the second half hour, I'm going to bring in Jackie, a new board member from Anderson Union High School District. We're going to talk about what it's like to be a new board member for the first time. So Henry and Jerry, welcome.
Hello.
Yeah, thank you.
So Jerry, tell us quickly just a little bit about yourself, and yeah, go for it.
Well, I was born in Trona, California, and we moved to Redding when I was 3 years old. It was a great household, youngest of 10 kids, and our door was always open for people to come and eat in our house, ham hock and beans and cornbread, and it was a great life. Well, it was also the hippie era where I started using and at a young age, and I got comfortable in there, started selling dope, and a regular old street guy. Pretty much, but Redding's always been my town. I love it, and we have the Harolds all have compassion for the less fortunate. Like I say, our doors were always open as a child, and this seemed to take place here now. But what happened when I started doing a lot of drugs? I went way overboard, and 3.5 years ago, I had enough, and at that point, I turned my life around and started working on helping people that were like me who just had no way out. But there is a way out. It is in recovery. And, of course, we use Jesus Christ, too. But our main focus is to get the lost guys out there, the lost souls, women and men that really need just a hand up. And it's about love and compassion.
And you're not affiliated with any organization or group.
Not at all.
This is just Jerry and his white Tacoma truck. now, and you've in terms of vocationally, you're retired now, correct?
Yes. Yep.
But I mean, you completely functioning worked.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole entire time. Would you mind sharing how young you are?
Well, I'm 64 now.
64.
And growing up there, I was a glass man, and I was able to use dope and work at the same time. And so I was a maintaining addict. But my life is so much better now since we dropped all that.
Yeah, well, and I know, and we'll get into all the people that you've been helping and what you're actively doing. So, Henry, welcome.
Yep, thank you.
I met Henry via text last night from Officer Devin Kettle. Devin, I know professionally, but also our wives have taught together at Shasta High School, and he just said, man, you got to hear Henry's story. So he reached out to you, and here you are this morning. So tell us a little bit about yourself, but then what the last year has looked like, because your story is super inspiring because it's very relevant to, you know, everybody knows in the news. So go ahead.
Well, I too started really young age. Like every year I was Mississippi boy born, but I was, you know, born in Mississippi into just partying, addiction, drugs, alcoholism. Went from hourly rate motels to abandoned houses to the streets with my mom, who worked the streets, you know. And so at a very young age, I was exposed to crazy stuff. I was the kid in the hood, and I began selling drugs at a young age. I began using at a very young age. I became a runaway due to, you know, I got taken from my mom and was placed in group homes, state hospitals, state facilities, jails. Everything started when I was 8, 9 years old. And so I'd run away every time. I was a runner, and I'd always try to run back, find my mom, whatever hotel she was at or wherever. And that's pretty much my life, was on the streets, you know, just being raised.
And then, so were you in Susanville, or where were you?
Last time, Susanville, yeah.
Okay, and so when you got out early, you said that, excuse me, you had an ankle monitor.
Yeah.
And you had nowhere to go because you're not from Reading.
Yeah.
And you found yourself at Nerpong.
Well, I lived in Reading before, you know.
Got it.
I came to Reading, got a charge a long time ago, you know, through that. And then I was in Sacramento on the streets, homeless, and the Reading warrant got me. So they brought me here, and then I went to Susanville.
Got it.
Yeah.
So you found yourself living down by the river.
Yeah.
At Nerpong.
Yeah.
So pick up the story there.
Well, yeah, my early release wasn't an exciting day. You know, I wanted to do my term, get out, and go back to SAC where I, you know, had things going on. But anyways, I got released to Shasta County almost a year early, you know, and that would be a celebration. But that day I lost hope because I just, I don't want to be homeless and stuck in a city where I have nothing, you know. And so I got released, took my little walk with all my stuff and my ankle monitor, walking around from Breslauer, and then I made it to the... About as far as I made it was the Cypress Bridge. And then that became my home right there at the Nerpon open space, you know?
Yeah. And so when they were doing the clear out, you met Officer Kettle, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
So tell us that whole story.
Yeah, it's cool. They're doing the clear out, cleaning. I mean, I'm selling, using drugs, running around, and see these guys setting up a booth, and they're offering Gatorades. And, like, if I'd have known it just cops in uniform, I run. You know, that's not a thing. I just go,
yeah.
You know. But these plainclothes guys were there. Hey, you want a Gatorade? I'm like, cool. And so I went and I got my homeboy, my friend, and said, hey, let's go check these dudes out and get some Gatorades. And we went, and sure enough, he gave us a Gatorade and then said, hey, you want to get off the streets? You know, you guys want to get off the streets and get in a place? You know, we can get you in a hotel today maybe. And I was, yeah, shoot that. I need that. I do not want to be out here. Like, I didn't like what I was doing for years. I didn't like living on the streets. I didn't like using drugs. I didn't like being there. I just...
Absolutely. Okay, yeah. So you get into a hotel.
Yeah.
Was it that night?
No, it was actually a couple days later.
Okay, so a couple days later, you get into a hotel. What's the next step from there? What happened?
Yeah, get in the hotel. I was able to be sober for the first time in a long time. Get a clear mind. Get a clear state. Have a place to sleep. Hot shower. Food was there at the hotel at No Boundaries. And... with a clear mindset, I was able to start making decisions that were right. The very things I planned to do when I was in prison or in jail, now I was back in that clear mind and I could start working on my goals again. And so I got sober and got in touch with a couple of resources in the county that are actually really good. Like there's peer counselors, recovery coaches now.
Peer support.
Yeah, peer support. Got in touch with them, and they were actually got me in touch with a counselor because I'm going to need some counseling. I was insane out there on the streets, 20 plus years homeless. I've seen a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And how old are you now?
I'm going to be 38 next week.
38 next week. Awesome. Yeah. And then so it's been how many months now you've been sober?
Now I'm going on 9 months now.
9 months, and then
this time.
Congratulations.
How about your son? Tell us about that.
Oh man, that's one of the greatest things. My son, he's 13. Yep, he's 13 years old, about to be 14 next month. But last time my kids saw me, they were 3 and 5 years old when I was on the run here in California and hadn't been in their life. They only knew me from prison calls on a tablet, or on the phone. And now in these 9 months, my relationship with both my children has been being restored. God's really blessed that. I've been hanging out with them, seeing them. I've also got co-parenting with their mother now. She's finally sees the change in my life. And so my son's going to be moving in with me in my new apartment that I'm about to get, new two-bedroom apartment. First place I've had on my own in over a dozen years. I'm about to move into within the next couple of weeks. Awesome.
And then, and you're working now.
And I'm working.
And where are you working?
Cal North Forestry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love these guys. I do, I'm a sawman. They hired me knowing my past, knowing my history, locally owned. They just took me right on and said, we'll give you a shot. You stay sober.
Yeah, and what's that company again?
It's Cal North Forestry.
Cal North
Forestry and Fire Prevention.
Okay, so anybody out there that's listening, you need any kind of service that they offer, give them a shot, obviously, because they're sowing into the community and people, and that's what's important. So, Jerry,
yes, sir.
I introduced you guys, Henry recognized you, didn't know you from name, but he knew you from the camps driving around. So, Henry, how did you recognize Jerry, or what do you remember about Jerry?
I just remember being one of the good guys.
Thank you.
One of the guys that would come, and I couldn't remember if it was bringing us food or prayer or talking. I just know that there's, unlike years before when I was here, before I went in, now there's a lot of people in the community now recently that actually show us that they care about us.
Absolutely.
And come out. And that I never saw before. That's why I hated wanting to come back to Reading, because I really thought it's just we were hated out there. And, man, I see a lot of love and support from the community. And Jerry, I knew, was one of them.
Thank
you. I just
couldn't
put my finger on it because
So, Jerry, let me ask you. So, Henry's 38, mm-hmm. and you're about 60.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that connection? I mean, how is that? Because you're one of the best, nicest, biggest heart men I've ever met in my life.
Thank you.
And I know at great personal sacrifice, not just your time, but your gas money. I mean, you spend a lot of your own personal money that you've worked hard to save on what you're doing. So what was it for you that when you made that change at 60, you've just thrown yourself into, it's a very big difference, right? Like going from an addict, a very functioning addict, because you held a job,
right,
provided for your family.
Yes, I do.
And then now you're 100% like helping. I mean, like where does that come from?
Well, basically it's about love. I do believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. He's the one who drives me to get up in the morning and do this every day. But it's just about love and compassion. That's truly what we're trying to put out there. And a lot of people have followed Skippy Danny Abbott's program. He drives around, and for people who don't know him, he drives around and feeds people. And he is my hero. He's the one who inspired me to actually do the work. Some days I don't want to get up, man. Some days it's just not good. I don't feel like it. I'm getting older. My bones hurt. But I have a purpose now, an absolute purpose, to get out there and try to help everybody I can as best as I can. And try to get people sober, too. That's huge for me. I'd like to get into that field more and really start talking to these people one-on-one and get the people who really are ready to get sober. That's what I want to do. I'll still feed people and clothe people and stuff like that, but I really want to see people get sober just like this young man did and hear these success stories.
Yeah. Henry?
Can I say something about the love and compassion
part? Absolutely.
Hey, I was out there. I spent many nights and a lot. I've got homeboys, people, women. I mean, there's people out there on the streets. We spend years doing the things that we hate. You know, I can't speak for everybody, but I know a lot of people I still know that are out there. We do not like that life. We don't want that life. But we feel we're stuck, and we have no hope. You know, and when you feel like you have no hope, that was the worst spot I've ever been in my life, because I was just, there was no emotions, no more tears to cry, no more things to do, nothing to do but just what's in front of me, and that's just more drugs, more of that life.
Waiting to die.
You know, and without that hope, I really thought I was going to die. Like, I used to pray sometimes on the streets. I would get mad at God and, like, why didn't you let me die? I would try to overdose. I would try to use bad dope. I would try to do these, put myself in positions when I was on the streets in Sac and Frisco to, you know, I'd do things ballsy, but really just hoping that I could die, because I just thought I'd never get to see the light of my children again, family life again, being sober-minded again. I really thought that. But when people bring love and compassion, even just listening to us and letting us know that we're cared for, that puts hope in us. And that hope is, that's why I'm here today, is people like you and Devin Kettle and everyone else that comes to the community that comes on purpose to show love and compassion.
Well, so let me ask you, so what's that gap, do you think, for people that don't want that lifestyle anymore? And then you're obviously there, and you know it can be done. They know you and your story. What do you think's that little gap, that little nudge they need that they're not getting, where they're not taking the opportunities that you've taken? What do you think that is?
I know it's different for everyone. You know, sometimes it's people just need another rock bottom, but a rock bottom with a testimony they can carry. Like, I've had friends since I've come, many coming to the same program I'm at now that are sober today. There's a whole hotel, half a hotel full. I got 13 friends I sold and used drugs with for years here in Reading that are now clean and sober since I've gotten clean and sober.
Yeah. It just takes one.
You know, that say, hey, if you can do it, bro, like, they no longer have an excuse.
Yeah.
You know, because they see, oh, homeboy can do it. Well, I can't justify nothing with you anymore. And it's like, bro, and then they see me get my kids, and they know they want that.
Yeah.
And they want that life that we think we can't have. So it gives them hope. The seeds planted by all the different members of the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then someone like me or him raise up, then it's like nutrients for that plant, you know, and they just.
In the time that you've done this, Jerry, what has been the what's been the most eye-opening for you, seeing it from the side you're doing it from now?
What I really thrive for and love is the callbacks, and that year later, things like that, where people are successful and they're not doing dope, and they got their kids back, they've got a life, they have a job, they have a car, and they're going to get an apartment. That just blows my skirt up, man. I love that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, yeah. And Henry, would you say, I mean, the type of drugs that are on our streets and in our camps now, they are obviously lethal. But have you really noticed a difference in the last 10 years of what's out there, what's being sold? I mean, can you articulate a little bit about that?
Oh, for sure. Since fentanyl came out, that's the worst thing. I mean, people are dropping.
Yep.
I mean, literally, like,
yep,
every day people are dropping here in Reading. I mean, every day.
Yeah.
Whereas heroin overdoses, there were still some, but it wasn't like it is now. Fentanyl is killing massive amounts of people, not just in Reading, but in other cities every single day. And that's a whole other thing. That's a whole other ball game.
Yeah.
And it's a whole other addiction too, you know, and it's really sad.
Like, I don't hate very many things, but I think I hate fentanyl.
You know?
You were there when Sean passed away, right?
Yeah.
I brought him to the New Boundaries. Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, and that, one of the things I really feel strongly about is your story and getting your story out there more, and then your friends' stories out there more. I just think people, because again, it's very limited for me. Like, I have a background as a family member of somebody, like I had mentioned with my brother, but I'm out at MLK Park just one day a week. A few months ago, I would go out to Masonic off of Lake Boulevard once in a while. But it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking seeing people week in, week out that, you know, they're just about there, but knowing that they're using drugs, that could stop their heart at any moment, it's hard. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm excited every Saturday when I see some individuals, because I sometimes wonder if I'll see them alive again, because I know that they're using that, you know, and that's one of the things that drives me. But I definitely want to, we'll connect again, obviously. But what do you, I mean, if you had one thing that you could do, I mean, what's the one thing that you would do for all your friends or anybody that was in your situation that, you know, if you had like a one wish, like what would it be for people that were where you were but aren't making that decision to get the help?
I mean, mine, and I don't mean, I'm not a religious guy, but my wish is that they would just have a full encounter with Jesus, because that's really, well, all this hope and plead, like me allowing God into my life, and I'm not giving, like, there's no three steps to that, but me really doing that, because I was so caught up in myself. I tried meetings, I tried rooms, I tried a lot of things, but when I allowed God, really, just God, I need your help.
Yeah.
Then Officer Kettle showed up. No boundaries happened. This guy, people, you know, things just started coming my way.
That. Yeah. Well, I'm a data-driven guy, and one thing that I really realize now, and it doesn't matter if a person has a faith or not, you can't dispute the fact that faith-based programs have a much, much higher success rate than non-faith-based. And I'm not saying it's the only way to do it, because people can do other ways, but people got to do something, because what you're doing sitting here, and Jerry as well, you guys are testimonies to, you know, it's never too late. And Jerry, how about you? Like, what's one thing? I mean, I he probably stole yours, but is there one thing, if you had one wish, like what is something that you would like to see for Shasta County or the people out there to just get them?
I'd like to see some reasonably priced housing for these people, that they put up some of their Social Security check and they're able to lay down, you know, the pallet programs are great. It just does not house enough people for our situation. We're getting a lot of motels out there that are going into housing. It's a slow process, but it is taking place. And I know No Boundaries is buying another one here in a few. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not, but I think that's where we need to go with it, a low income where they have to be accountable. Because out there on the streets, the folks don't have to be accountable, you know, and they act crazy because of drugs and alcohol. And if they just had a chance, like this guy here, you know, just someone who cared and loved them, showed some compassion, that's the beginning right there. And then we can introduce all the programs that are out there. And there is a lot of programs out there to help these people.
Yeah. Quickly say
one
thing.
Oh, no, go ahead, Henry.
Yeah, exactly what he said. I think I was getting the question.
Sure.
When you're asking the question, I'm just in the room. Yeah, God.
I didn't ask a very good question.
Oh. But really,
I'm just in awe of
what
you guys
I want to
are
see
doing
and be a part of, and I know that works, is exactly that, man. I mean, we got abandoned motels in Reading and warehouses and all these things that have been here for years that the homeless are already living in. You know, like, why can't we use that for housing? Do something with that. But there's also, that's what works. You know, get out of your situation, get a clear mind, get some sleep, get a clear mind. Then you can have it and have someone like myself or someone that you know that's been there, done that, that you'll listen to, be able to kind of take you along.
Yeah.
And help you, you know,
street
help
respect,
you walk that strength. Like,
well,
that I know it works.
Yeah. I mean,
you know?
And I know Jerry knows this, because he was on a call with me probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 months ago with individuals with the Other Side Academy, and that's something I really want to bring here. And one of the big pillars of that is a work program, because, again, I don't think there's anything more gratifying to a man or woman than doing a day's labor and paying your own way.
Yeah. Once we give these people a purpose, their life starts to change.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
We start learning, we can live.
They just need some love and compassion. That's it.
Yeah. Now, did you feel, Henry, we got a couple more minutes, but you had mentioned something early that you know, just the way sometimes you were treated by people, like, you know, you're walking through town and somebody sees you or maybe says something, or flips you off, you know, like Jerry just, you know. So what do you, I mean, talk about how that feels. I mean, you know, like, because you were vulnerable when you spoke about it earlier, like that's.
Yeah, that really adds to the anxiety, that adds to the stress level. That adds to, I mean, it actually creates more hate and more anxiety, you know, because you got to think you have some people with mental health issues, drug issues, broken families, you know, the things that they're fighting depression, stress, everything else, and then now you got somebody throwing bottles at you,
yeah,
calling you names, or they come and, you know, back in the day it was police roll up on you, they'd arrest you,
yeah,
so and then you get released an hour later, but everybody's stolen all your stuff, so right. Now you're in a worse
yep.
spot than you were when you got arrested. You get arrested 30 times, you just get released in an hour,
yeah,
you know, and it's like, dang, you got 30 ORs. You know, yeah. It's like, and I've met people all the time, dude, I hoped I was ever going to keep me, and they shot me back out, so here I am.
Yeah.
Worse,
you know, and I think what's tough for some is, like, your situation, because again, you know, just even yesterday at the park, the one lady that was obviously having a breakdown,
right.
Jerry, and she's yeah. yelling, and I go over and talk to her, and I'm not by any way, shape, or form any kind of professional or psychologist or anything, but it was really being able to talk her a little bit off the ledge, calm her down. But a lot of people are frightened by that.
Right? You listened.
Yeah, well, we just got to be there. And I think, Jerry, you do a great job with leading with love. So, guys, I'm gonna definitely have you guys back. This has been really, really educational for me, and not just educational, but it's been super motivating and inspiring knowing that, you know, people are out there doing what you're doing and you're making changes, and I'm thankful for both of you. So thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you
on.
Very much.
Real nice thank to you. Meet you. All right, we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Signs. That's right. Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs. We do them. Vehicle wraps. We do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck for you? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them when other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 33 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure, or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
All aboard!
All right, we're back. Ozzy Osbourne, Crazy Train, and that's what this segment's going to sometimes feel like, is a crazy train. I'm here with Jackie LaBarbera from Anderson Union High School District. In the second half of our show, we're going to just talk about what it's like being a new board member for the first time. Jackie nor I have sat on a board before, of course, myself at the Shasta County Board of Supervisors representing the great First District, and then Jackie representing my alma mater, Anderson, class of 94, best high school ever. It's a great place to be from. Jackie, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. So, okay, let's jump right in. So tell me a little bit about what possessed you to want to run for an office after all the years of not being in a political office, and then you jump in. What was it for you?
For me, it was a need. It was an absolute need and a conviction to get in there, to be boots on the ground and to really see what was going on. I've been an activist for parents' rights for a long time. I've been involved in kiddos' lives. I've been in foster care, just had a heart for children. Stay-at-home mom at 18 years. And I think, like a lot of people I talked to, the last 3 years or so is when I just really realized that something was desperately wrong in our country. And I started with national activism, and then I realized no state, and then I realized no community. Local is where it's at. That's where I could affect change.
Yeah. So activism, talk a little bit about that. Like, I know at Pathway Church, mm-hmm. you ran a constitutional class.
Correct? Biblical citizenship.
Biblical citizenship. That's mm-hmm. right. Okay. Was that the first thing you did activism wise, or did it predate that?
No, so the first thing I did, and I'll just start about 3 years ago, just kind of had a lot of time on my knees before the Lord with my heart broken for my country. And it was confusing because I've always been, I've always loved my country. But I really didn't know where I stood biblically in that. To me, I will always want to take everything to the Word and figure out, okay, my heart's broken for this, but what do you want me to do with it? And so from that, I really just kind of, dove into the Word and learned about how America came to be and how we are a Christian nation. And, that I don't think we need to apologize for that. And then once I realized that, okay, what is my responsibility as a Christian in my nation to address these problems that I'm burdened with? And that's kind of where I first started. I got involved in something called Convention of States, which is trying to take Article 5 of the Constitution to amend the Constitution. It's a little bit of a controversial topic. Some people don't agree with it. I believe that the Founding Fathers put it in there for a reason. If Congress has the right to amend it, why shouldn't we? It doesn't make any sense that when a tyrannical government gets out of control, the people have no recourse. Article 5 is that recourse.
Yeah.
And then from there, I branched into biblical citizenship, which biblical citizenship basically is just what it sounds like. It takes the Constitution, the Declaration, the reason our forefathers left, Puritans and the Pilgrims, and them escaping the Church of England and, the state and the church being in bed together and escaping here to find a land. And they when they landed here, they dedicated this land. They made a covenant with God, the covenant of 1607. And that was to establish this land as a land that would flourish and go and tell the world
yeah.
about Christ.
Yeah, so your path to office is a little bit different mm. than mine, but that is that's awesome. I mean, that is awesome. So what was that moment where you decided, okay, I'm going to go down to the clerk's office, turn in my signatures, and I'm going to run for office? Like, what was, because, I mean, you obviously have had a run-up, my first thing was a school walkout. And, and in 3 weeks I was running. So for you, doing all of this, like, there was like a slow burn, mm-hmm. right? And then mm-hmm. it was like, okay, what was the last step? I mean, was it, like, give me that, because you obviously were on the edge or, mm-hmm. Not on the cliff. I don't want to call it a cliff, but you were right there and then took that final step. What was it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So for me, it was in doing those biblical citizenship classes. I taught about three different cohorts at Pathway, about 100 people. And, the hunger, people just why isn't this everywhere? You know, why aren't more people doing this? And they a lot of people had come, and, you know, it was their first time at church since churches had closed their doors, you know,
yeah.
And it was kind of like church for them. And they were getting that marriage of patriotism and, you know, their Christianity, and they realized why they had this deep sense of something is wrong, you know, as
Christians. So what pushed you?
Because I would, so I always have call to action. So when I teach those classes, I always end the class with a call to action.
Love it.
A lot of those classes were done during election time, during school board election, during general, during primaries as well. And so I was really educating the classes about, you know, here's how you found your county clerk's website. Here's how you look up candidates. Here's some resources for Christian, you know, to look up conservative Christian candidates. And then I kind of started really honing in on local. And that took me to school boards. And so as I'm teaching people how to run, and I'm teaching people the power of a school board, because people still don't realize that. Boards don't even realize, I think, school boards, how much power they have. But and no one was standing up to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was just like, well, duh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So you're one of five.
Mm-hmm.
So walk me through, because, you know, one of five, you're 20% of that vote needing mm-hmm. to be able to count to three to really, I don't want to say do anything, because whether you like it or not, things are being done.
Mm-hmm.
So what has it been like for you? Did you know any of the other people in office or running for office prior to the election?
No. So no, I hadn't known anybody. And actually, I was new to the district, which caused a little bit of ruckus. But I've lived in Reading for 21, 22 years, and we moved to Anderson. And I thought I was going to run for somewhere in Reading, and then, you know, unbeknownst to us, we ended up in Anderson, and actually I really love it. But no, so I didn't know anybody there.
Anderson's great.
Oh my gosh.
Put a plug in.
No, I'm going to put a plug in there too. I do not. Sorry, but I don't miss Reading.
Yeah, now, Reading is great.
And
I never want to apologize for Reading, but I think this whole 3 years has woken a lot of people mm-hmm. up to start seeing what's happening. And I think as time goes on, I think you're going to see a lot more people wanting to run for office or get involved, or why people are getting involved, or why people want things so bad. Like, that's what's been interesting to me, is to see the different people who are running and why they're running, or, you know what I mean, when you peel that onion back. So you didn't know any of the other individuals. What has it been like for you working with four new people, four new friends, to try and get some things done?
It's interesting. It's eye-opening. What I thought I knew on the outside was a very small piece of what it's actually like. I think it's a beautiful process. I've never served on any boards. I think the process of being on a board and, you know, representing a number of people and coming together and voting, I think it's a great process. I think the thing I was most surprised by is how political the school education system is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, I'm pretty taken aback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean
public life, yeah.
Yeah, but. Well, just even just office politics. I mean, mm-hmm. for me, I've been self-employed pretty much my entire life. So office politics really haven't impacted me per se. I mean, I've worked in the private sector or the public sector, you know, 2 or 3 years as a teacher, and then working in a nonprofit in Oregon. But for me, it's just really been eye opening to see. I mean, the politics to me was, you know, on some all-star team, some dad is helping out, so now their kid makes all-stars over somebody else. That was the extent of politics
right.
that I was kind of exposed to. And now, we're dealing with like people's lives, and to me, kids can't choose their parents. So what you're doing, or anybody on school boards are doing, I think that is the crux, the nexus, the tip of the spear of everything that's good and bad with our country. Because mm-hmm. if you don't have all the advantages of growing up in the greatest nation in the world, and you're being set back because of things that are happening in our school systems, that's just criminal.
Mm-hmm.
It's criminal. And so I applaud. So let's I don't want to put you on the spot, So, like, as you're working through some of these things, what are some of the hot-button topics? Let's not even say the Anderson Union High School District. Let's just say in education in general. What are some things legislatively that are coming down the pipe that you'd like to share in your position?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and I think really, actually, globally, nationally, parents' rights. I mean, that's where it's at. There are superintendents that truly believe, and teachers and counselors and teachers union presidents and teachers union members that truly believe children belong to the state. It is not an overstatement. I've heard it said.
Yeah.
And it's obvious in policy. It doesn't take much to look at policy.
Yeah.
And to see that. To see it in black and white. So to me, parents' rights is the way through all of the garbage.
Yeah.
It's the way through all of it. It undoes all of it.
Absolutely.
And so that's why we're seeing, you know, McCarthy presented H.R. 5, which is a parent's bill of rights. And then Doug LaMalfa actually did H.R. 1558, I believe, last week, announced it in Chico in response to that lawsuit against Chico Unified School District for the secret transitioning of their daughter, their 11-year-old daughter. And then we have some state bills coming out as well.
Well, and that's the hard thing. Like, it's in Chico, right? And people, it used to be when something was happening in L.A. or the Bay Area or whatever, it didn't get to Reading for 15 or 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, it's you know, 3 months, 6 months. So the fact that happened in Chico, and for people that aren't aware, give us like a 30-second just synopsis of what happened in Chico for those that don't know. I know about it just because I'm in education and I work with schools down in Butte County. So go ahead.
Yeah, so actually I went when Doug announced that bill, I went to the school district, Chico Unified School District, and talked to the mom. So her 11-year-old daughter just experienced a death in the family. She was really close to her grandpa. Grandpa had just passed. She was really struggling. And, you know, I think she went to her counselor or her teacher. I don't remember which one it was. And she said, you know, I'm just having a hard time, not feeling too good, not sleeping too well. I want to be a boy. I think I'm supposed to be a boy. The teacher then, and don't quote me in the exact order. I'm just remembering what the mom said, but basically, you know, the teacher, okay, well, let's go, and went and talked to her homeroom teacher about it. Said, hey, these are her pronouns. This is what we're going to call her. You know, and kept a separate record from the parents. So she was literally, mom said, you know, with tears in her eyes, she was living a double life, 11 years old, a boy at school and a girl at home. And, you know, they have since gotten her counseling. She is a girl. She loves being a girl. She was just having a hard time.
Yeah. No, I know. And it's scary. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's freaking scary that people would even argue. I mean, people would even argue that that is normal or okay. Well, thank you for, like, standing in the gap and actually going down there and getting involved and talking with the mom yourself so you're not just reciting something that you Googled or saw online. So what is something that you feel as a board member? I mean, how do you pace yourself? That's one of the things that I've learned because, of course, I'm not the chairperson of my board. I don't believe you are either. So, you know, we have an agenda put in front of us. And what I mean by agenda, I mean like a piece of paper with what we're going to be doing, not a personal agenda. And we have to vote and research and act on what's before us. And I'll tell you, for me, like I'm fine with whatever's there because that's what it is. But there's other things that I would like to be putting a lot more, a much more heavy focus on. But all the issues are important. So, how, you know, for you, what's the process that you go through as you're, you know?
Yeah, so I've never been one to tread lightly, and my conviction runs deep to protect kids. It runs deep. It's all I think about. It's all I do now.
Yeah.
You know, my kids are older. I'm not working. This is what I do, and so I'm not treading lightly.
You're not working for pay, but you're working.
No, yes. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean, but I think it's important.
No, I don't get paid. Nothing.
Yeah. I think it's important. It's like when stay-at-home moms or someone says, "Oh, my wife doesn't work. Oh, she works a lot harder than you do."
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So go ahead.
So yeah, so I went from a stay-at-home mom of three to, you know, 1,700 now. But so yeah, my convictions run deep. I've always been a person that has just, you know, prayed, "Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours." And once you do, show me what to do with it.
That's such a great point.
Yep. And I mean, since I was a young girl, and my heart has been broken, and so I don't tread lightly. I No, I am not the board president. But our board president, he's been there for 26 years, so he does a great job. I have a great superintendent I work with.
Victor's a good man.
He is a good man. And that, let me tell you, is all the difference, because he understands the process. He understands that he does not rule the board.
Yeah.
That the board is that the board are there by the people.
Yeah.
For the people, and he gets that. And that really helps me as a board member, though I'm not the president, but I have input on the agenda. And, you know, there are rules. And the agenda, the Brown Act says that the public or a board member can put anything on there that is within the jurisdiction of the board. And so, you know, I state that. I state my case. And for the most part, every month I've been able to, you know, get things done that I want to get done.
That's awesome. Yep. So some local school boards have had some have been in the news. Some haven't. What do you think? What are you most proud of your board since you've been seated on that board? Because you guys are doing some great things. You guys just passed. What was that you just passed? I saw in the paper it was. You guys passed a resolution. What was that resolution?
Yeah. So actually, this last meeting we passed two things. The first one was a resolution in opposition to AV659, which is the mandatory HPV, the genital wart vaccine, for children to be able to continue into eighth grade. And so we, as a district, filed a resolution in opposition to that with our state legislature.
That's awesome. And, mm-hmm. and did that go 5-0?
Yes, that was unanimous. Yes, great. Someone didn't show up, but
so it was 4-0.
Okay. Yeah, it was 4-0. Yeah, and then we also passed a mandatory district mailing for California opt out, which is basically built 100% on Ed Code. It allows parents to opt out of state testing, surveys, health surveys, social emotional learning surveys, sex ed, basically anything. It allows them to opt out of anything. That's going on with kiddos at school.
And what was the vote on that one? Was that unanimous as well?
That was unanimous. And then the month before that, we passed the parental rights resolution, and that one basically takes language from legislatures in other states that have the fundamental rights of parenting legislated. We don't in California, and so it kind of took that language and just as a board, we made a public statement that we believe that parents have the unequivocal fundamental right to parent their children in every regard and every respect in public schools. And that was.
And you have some boards that fight that. I mean,
well, it didn't pass unanimously. We had a lot of concern from the public and from it was the teachers. It was some teachers and counselors that didn't like it, and it was the same teachers and counselors that didn't like the California opt out. So I see where it's going. I see who it is. It's not the people that don't want parents to have rights. It's the machine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know the SCOE board, mm-hmm. Shasta County Office of Education, Arthur Gorman being a first term board member. I think they're a board of seven,
yep.
Correct? And
yep.
I know he's been on the end of a few, you know, one versus six. And I don't want to say versus, but, you know, he's been the lone vote. So what do you, I mean, how would you, if you, I'm not sure if you talk to Arthur very often, but how do you encourage someone like that, like a new person on a board that is, you know, I mean, we're not even talking like on the precipice of mm-hmm. change. Like we're talking completely opposite. So.
Right. And I think, authors shares with me that deep conviction just to do what's right and to vote your conscience.
Yeah.
And I think that right now the issues that are before us in public education, there is no other way.
Yeah.
There is no other way. We're going to keep going the way we're going, and we're going to get people like us that are just going to vote our conscience, that don't want to be there for decades,
yeah.
and that aren't going anywhere else, and that's what we're going to do. And so I think what I'm doing and what our board is able to accomplish is sending a message to those board members that maybe don't have, you know, fellow board members with them and those things, that this can be done, mm-hmm. you know, and just hang tight, and we're going to learn from each other, and we're going to do what's right by the kids.
Well, and I think as a board member, I mean, I just want to see a lot of people engaged mm-hmm. and a lot of people running for office. I mean, it never crossed my mind to get into office and to do things that would guarantee a reelection. And I had heard a couple people actually immediately And that's one of the very first conversations, you know, people that are very, that have been in politics for years and talk about, you know, it's like, I don't even, that doesn't even cross my mind. Like, it, and it's never, for me, running for office has never been, it's like, hey, I'm just going to do the, like anything else, I'm just going to do the best I can, let the chips fall where they may, and that's what it is. And voting your conscience is the, I think, it's the only way. Mm-hmm. And I don't, and when people start, you know, yeah, it's wild. So let me ask you this with the board that you do you guys have, because you have some board members that have been there quite a while, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And how's that been? I mean, you coming in brand new, has it been easy? Has it been rocky? Is it, I know I'm pressing you now a little bit, but is it, I mean, what's that? I mean, it's a forced relationship, right?
Like it is. That's true. That's a good point. That's a good way to say it.
I mean, if you're working at McDonald's, yeah, which I've never have, but like you're working the fryer and they're working the burgers and you're next to each other.
Right. Yeah. That's a good way to say it. Yeah, it has been. But again, I think that maybe the difference between my board and some other boards is they understand the necessity of it. The demographics of our district really do reflect, you know, I mean, pretty much parents' rights all the way and a more conservative, you know, leaning district.
District 5, yeah.
Yeah, and so they understand that. I think what's hard for a lot of boards is they just haven't wanted the attention because let's face it, the other side is louder. You know, they're better at showing up. They're better at the yucky tactics and that pressure is why we are where we are.
Yeah. I mean,
And so they haven't want to draw that attention to them. So we have had the policies that come out of LA and San Francisco. They've all been there. Yeah, all there.
Where does California rank as education now? I mean, they're 40 something, correct?
I mean,
California's at the bottom.
Yep.
The bottom. And, it's abysmal. And if people think that education is getting better, they're crazy. And especially, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying we don't have phenomenal teachers and educators or superintendents and
absolutely
leaders.
Absolutely. And here's the thing that I'm seeing now that I'm on the inside. There are, Kevin, and they work so hard.
Yeah.
And the reason they have to work so hard is because of the bureaucratic bullcrap that they're up against.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just now that I see it, there are some good people in there teaching and counseling and on admin, but they're fighting a monster.
Yeah. No, there's a lot to it. There's a lot being a new board member. I mean, we have at the county roughly, you know, 2,000 employees. Mm-hmm. So as I've had the opportunity to meet and talk, not just with department heads, but whether you call it, you know, line staff or, you know, whatever, there's a lot of good feedback there, and there's a lot of good people, and I think everybody across this county, mm-hmm, schools or any endeavor, like we all kind of want the same thing. Mm-hmm. We want to have safe, clean places to take our kids and families. We want to have opportunities to feed our families and have have small business thrive. We want things to be affordable. We want to be safe. I mean, all these things, and I think we just as a society just constantly, and especially our media, they want to focus on the 3 or 5% that just rips us apart, and that's what's troubling, and that's what's a bummer, mm-hmm, is that you're dealing with that. You guys are doing some, like I said, some great work down there. And again, I'm very biased. I've known Victor for a period of time. That Amy cuts both of our hair.
Okay.
So sometimes, you know, I'll have an appointment right before him or after him. Is there anything else that you want to let people know what it's like to be a first-time board member that maybe we haven't covered?
I want people to know how much we need them. You know, I ran a campaign and I surveyed, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people and talked to so many people and gathered so much data about what they want, what's working well, what's not. And but now that I'm up there on the board, it's not. Now I get to do those things that they're talking to me about. But if they're not continuing to stay, you know, check in once in a while to see what's going on with those things, I don't have much power. My power is in them.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, do you have a lot of teachers or classified staff, certificated, regardless, even admin, reaching out to you? I mean, or do you have?
I have some, and the ones that do it secretly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so is it just because of fear of
teachers' unions?
Teachers' unions.
Yep.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yep.
And what's that like for you, having to I mean, that's got to be – see, and that's the part that's hard for me is you just want to – and I know we're wrapping up, but you want to just – like the Twisted Sister song, we just don't want to take it anymore. Pace yourself, Jackie, and keep me accountable to pace myself, and let's keep –